Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is the show of show business, Barry Friedman, and a Showbiz Blueprint bonus. We're doing interviews with some of my favorite people who have taken aspects of the show and 10x, 20x, 100x them beyond really what, you know, what anyone's doing. So that's who we're talking to in all eight of these interviews, and it's really exciting. And today, no exception. You know, Charles Peacock is funny. I was joking with him. I could have picked him for maybe any of the eight interviews, and he would have done a great job talking about them. But seeing as his last couple of years has really focused around the audio part of it and creating, without a doubt, the finest app and hardware, the finest hardware ever invented for handling that business of bringing music into our show, I wanted to bring him on to talk about audio and how that plays into a show and what that brings apart. So, hello, Charles.
Hello, Barry, man. Always a pleasure to see your face, man.
It's so good. Yeah. Hey, so talk a little bit about just introduction, performer history, when you started, and let's just kind of loosely come up to modern day, and then we'll dig into the audio stuff.
Sure. I've been juggling since I was age 11. I think I started my first paid gig when I was 14, and then just gradually built up after that. I started doing professional gigs right out of high school. When I was 19, I did my first cruise ship on the main stage, and then it just kept growing and kept changing and evolving my career. So, I mean, really right out of the gate, I was just earning in the real world, and it was a great education too, on because you're surrounded by professional acts all the time, working on a high. I mean, right around high school, you know, and so you learn a lot if you're open anyway. You can absorb a lot, and by watching what not to do on stage and what to do on stage. I always tell people, watch the worst acts and watch the best acts. You'll know exactly what to do and exactly what not to do. So I saw just so many acts and hung out with them off stage too. So you learn a lot because you're immersed in that and in being a performer. So it was great, and I've just watched a really slow evolution of my career. And to be honest, when it really took off was, when I did a national exposure, I did like 6 appearances on AGT, and really nothing really changed in my career. And this is a bit of a plug for you, but it's just honest. It was a big jump in my career when I started applying like marketing and proposals and all these things like that. And then my career went up like 4 notches, and it just seems to keep going. And that tool, the video, is also really great to have, but it's just the mindset too. And it's all shifted. But in the meantime, I've still, you know, focused on all these things about my show. And I mean, you and I, we've been using music in a show for a long time. I mean, I think when I started, it was cassette tapes, and then you had to like cue it like with a pencil to like the exact, like when the clear was gone, and like you would be like right there. And then every tape was labeled for every tune. So you'd like bring a stack of them that was like, you know, 10, 12 cassette tapes, and you would set it down to the sound guy, and the sound guy would have to load in that tape and then, you know, have it on pause actually. So immediately as soon as he hits on pause, it starts right away.
I had no idea you were doing this stuff in the cassette day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I wasn't using any kind of automation. It was just like, bring my cassettes. Right. That was the only way. That was the way you got me.
Your automation was the sound guy's finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I used, and then we went to mini disc was the next iteration.
Yep.
It was kind of big. And that was actually really a good solution because you could move things around and reprogram your show.
Yeah.
On them. You could even label them inside. I mean, it wasn't a great UI. I mean, you had to really label stuff. And then after mini disc is when I got the godfather of show automation, Kerry Pollack. I got his system, and it was, great. It was absolutely great for its time. And I was really like, I don't want to think about running my music cues remotely while I'm doing my show. But you know, like once you do it, and some people get it the first show, but once you do it, it don't take about 2 or 3 shows before you're like, I can't do it any other way.
I can't imagine.
I was talking to Derek Hughes, and I heard about him. He was coming to Orlando. I was just going to miss him. And like, they were saying, no, it was a big corporate thing that he had to fill in for Penn and Teller. It was Penn and Teller couldn't do it. So it was Matt King and him and the Evanston. And both Derek and Evanston use my product, and they wanted to get all the files from him. And like, no, we need a plan. And he's like, I can't do that. He's like, I cannot give you my files. Like, it'll mess me up.
Oh yeah, I have people ask for those. You're like, nope, the DI line. That's it.
Yeah. And so it just becomes such second nature, running your own cues, that you just can't imagine doing it any other way. But it's hard to get your head around it if you haven't run your own cues remotely like that.
So help people get their head around it. So you were doing all these shows. I mean, 19, amazing to be on cruises and making a living, man. That's how old are you now? Are you 40 something?
42, sir.
Yeah, all the answer to everything. You're the best age in the world. And look what you're doing with your life. It's so, you know, I never look at that. What's that book? Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. They talk about age 42 being like, you know, that's it. I mean, it's so funny to hear that another person saying 42, what you're doing with your life. But take us back to that place. So you're doing these shows and there's no automation. Then you kind of get this idea, let me do music. What happens? What's the realization you have kind of when you start using music on stage as part of your act?
There's a couple other things that happen. You, all of a sudden the handcuffs kind of come off because you're like, well, I don't know when I'm going to use this track, or I don't know if I'm going to use it, or, you know, I can't do a verbal cue or a visual cue that the sound guy's going to know. So I can't do this fade, or I can't do this track, or I can't do this, whatever. And so that starts to go away. So all of a sudden you're totally, you know, autonomous. So you don't have to think, is the guy going to understand when to play this track or start the video or things like that. So all of a sudden the handcuffs come off and you can do everything. Everything becomes possible at that point. So people think it's less freeing running your own cues, but actually it's way more freeing. I mean, you understand this,
I get would love you to do is anyone who's watching this, who's currently not using music in their show. What happened to you that first time you used it? Like, what was that?
Okay. Well, for me, it was just ingrained. It was because I was a technical juggler. You can't just go up there with nothing on stage. You know, it was always a part of it. But the way I like to explain it, whether it be lighting, whether it be video, whether it be music being the easiest thing to implement out of those, anything you can do to enhance the immersion of your audience. Because what we're doing as performers is we're creating almost like a hypnotic state. That's what I like to say, where they forget about their job, forget about their bills, forget about their kids' problems, you know, and they can just basically be in this world you created. And the more layers you can create, more you can like excite their senses, whether it be sound or whether it be lights, the deeper they're going to go in with you. And the more emotional of an experience and the better experience it is going to be for them. So people who don't use music, they're really missing that layer. And if you don't use lights and you don't use video, great. But music is so simple. And there are some acts that I think, like a stand-up comic, okay, all you're going to have is play on and play off, basically. You know, if you're doing straight comedy, but let's say a magic act or a ventriloquist act who just brings out puppets, you know, now a ventriloquist I work with, basically they didn't have any music, but now every time they intro a puppet, there's like a little, they have their own theme music, you know what I mean?
Wow, right.
When that puppet goes away, that theme music goes away too. And then anytime they bring somebody up on stage as a volunteer, there's music that plays. It just fills it all out. All those like little moments that aren't, you know, it basically joins everything. It's a glue and it also enhances everything. Cool. So not using music on your show, I mean, there would be very, very few acts, maybe like Louis C.K. or like a straight stand-up comic is the only person I could see not using music in their act. Everybody else, there's a place for it.
It's funny. I mean, in a variety act, the kind that we do, I mean, I look at it almost as like the molding, the baseboard in a house. It's unfinished without it. And I remember doing it for a long time. And I remember it was like 1993, 94 when I first started thinking about, man, we have to do some bumpers. Like every routine needs to end in something. And then we need to incorporate it into while the actual tricks are happening. And it just constantly grew. So boy, my takeaway, what I'm hearing you say is like, if you're not using it, just find some way. And that really leads into, you know, before I do that, what mistakes do you see people maybe even making using music?
I would say, okay, I'll do this. A lot of stuff is dated. I will say, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but you know, people who hire and people who book want current more and more and more. They're starting to understand that a current looking act, a current, you know, music and all that stuff like that, that really does help retain customers or get people excited or feel like they're watching something important. You know,
you're basically you're saying that I retired just in time. I got you. It's good. Keep going.
Yeah. You were like using 80s music. You're using like Jump and like all this other stuff that. Like,
yeah. I mean, I didn't want to retire. I just didn't want to change my set list. Yeah.
So, and I resisted this too. And as a juggler, it's even more important because I had everything choreographed through the years. So basically I had this piece of music and I just kept getting better and better at hitting my marks and enhancing the choreography. So it became this really tight piece. And so if you change the music, now you have to kind of rework all that. So that stopped me from updating my music. And one big takeaway, I would use stuff like for my volunteer bits, of course, for my pre-show stuff, things that I didn't have to be choreographed for, I would use like really current, like top 40 songs. And that really helped elevate like the image of the show. And then I said, well, that worked really well. Why don't I just like give up the tight choreography in favor for like an updated song, and I'll figure it out, you know? Yeah. The tricks are all still all in the order, and I'll find a little couple places to really hit the mark, like on the music, just as long as it ends on a big beat and things like that. Totally. And so I just started, and I didn't even really, I practiced with it a couple times. I'm like, okay, this is fine, you know? So I did that. Almost all my songs now, all my songs are like with definitely within the last 5 years. And so it just heightens the whole current image of the act. And a lot of people don't do that. You know, they're still using like Yanni, or they're still using like, you know, these classic Cirque du Soleil songs that have been out for like 30 years, you know?
Right.
Just use something current. Don't be scared of it. Right. You'll look more vital.
And if you're on a Disney ship, is Disney, I mean, are you on ships with older people and you still use newer current music?
Absolutely. Yeah. But honestly, most of my stuff, I mean, the ship industry is so radically changed from, it used to be Blue Bloods. Like while we were out there, it was like, you know, on formal night, you didn't see anybody without a tuxedo, you know?
Right, right, right.
There is no formal night. Like very few cruises have it. Lights. No. It's optional formal at best. Wow. Between the cruises anyway, between Celebrity and anything like Royal Caribbean, all that stuff. I mean, there's still Seabourn and those high-end Oceana ones that they still do that. Sure. But you know, that's just the way it is. Yeah. And so the demographic is getting younger and hipper. And so
and certainly at corporate dates, newer music, hipper. But I just want to really respect you for just, I know how hard it is. Just you threw away your set list and said, I'll figure it out. I'll just play the, and it's great. Wow. Good for you, man. That's really, that's bold. And that's a great takeaway for anyone watching this. It's like, yeah, why are we so married? And I know I remember the routines when you were so married to that choreography.
Yep.
And it was great. And I'm sure it's great now.
The trade-off is totally worth it to make your act more current. Totally is worth it. So yeah, that's what, so even at the corporate, like I'm doing a black tie, it's a business casual, but it's really high end. It's at the Fillmore Theater in Miami Beach. Mm. Like their huge award ceremony. And you know, I kind of thought to myself, you know, if you show up, and also the footage kind of aligns, like, you know, I'm on a current TV show, I dress like a certain way, like, and the music's current on that thing. So it basically, you know, it's consistent with my brand and who I am and all these things like that. But yeah, the bottom line is, even if I didn't have that, I would still want my music current. And
I love it, man.
Makes you seem more up to date, more hip.
Oh, I think it's so good. You know, some things we can't change, and there's some things we can, and that's smack in the middle of one we can and should. And man, good for you. I'm I respect you even more. That's huge. So let me ask something for the people watching who aren't using music. What's a small step someone can take right now to start adding or bringing? I mean, obviously the big step, the no-brainer, is to get yourself one of these and get an audio ape that plugs into it.
I would say get yourself, because, you know, bringing a CD and all that stuff is difficult. And you never know what they have there at the venue. I would say get a, just some kind of iOS player. Like, I mean, you can use Android and things like that, but iOS has some great free apps out there to run your music. And so, and we're going to be releasing one in about 2 weeks, I think. So we're going to have, Audio Ape's going to have its own music app, and it's going to be probably the most dead simple app, but super powerful.
So mid-August 2018, just for making this evergreen. Yeah.
We're going to be at Magic Live, and we're going to try, we're pretty sure we can do the hard release then. And so it'll be available to everybody. So, in 2 weeks, you can just go online and grab that app. The audio. And it's going to be super stable, super easy. It's just going to access your iTunes playlist. And then once you're up there, basically, here, I can pull it up. So this is the app in action. So it just pulls up your playlists.
Yeah.
So you scroll through and you just pick a playlist. Let's say Disney Cruises.
Yeah, that's my cruise.
And there's your music.
There's your first show.
And all the guy has to do is basically touch that. and then it plays, and then they touch it, and then it fades out and waits for the next track, and that's it. You can label them whatever you want. You can move through the track. So, I mean, very, very simple. I mean, there's more to it than that, but I won't go into it right now.
Right. This isn't for that, but I mean, right there, that's an app you build. This guy does everything, you guys. I know you have, like, prop people on your staff. You have, like, designers. You've gotten your audio ape approved all over the world. You talk to Apple. You know how to speak their language. So, man, I'm so so happy you came.
That would be the first step. Just get yourself a simple app that's designed for show playback. There's about four of them that are.
Suggest using it in a show, like for someone who's never do it. You know, Dan and I always did it like at the end of routines. It was like our bumper, our playoff at the blow off.
If you're that intimidated, just start with a play and a playoff, and then you just slowly start it with play and playoff. Audience volunteers, and that just start there.
That's awesome.
And then do that and bring your phone, and you can label these tracks whatever you want. So it doesn't have to say, you know, glow balls. It can say, you know, volunteer one, or it can say intro music. So it's a lot easier for the sound guy to tap it. If you don't have a remote, you can give this to your sound guy, and basically they use the audio jack on the bottom.
And you would have basically your directions for when he should hit it. On the track. Oh, yeah.
So there's, and then we will, on the iPad, the big version, they'll have like notes here. So you can actually put the cue of when they're supposed to do it. You know, you can say when I step on stage or when I hit my center mark or whatever it is. So the notes are right there as they're looking at it. You know, you don't have to build, you don't have to make a CD and then print out a cue sheet. And then if something changes, they don't align anymore. You know, it's all within the app. So when you bring that track up, it has like the notes of when the guy should be hitting it. Do you know what I mean? And I tell people to do that anyway with a remote, just in case you're in a situation where like something got destroyed or lost. And, you know, when you're coming to a gig, you can actually hand the iPad to the person, and it has not only the tracks, the audio tracks, but it has real big, like the cues. And so you can the cues will always follow the music track.
Man, it's so funny to hear you talk about that cue sheet. I just flash back instantly to these 22 cues on a printed sheet, and nary a show.
If you had to change something, then it was like, oh, I got to reprint these, or I got to make all this.
That was never an option with Dan and I. We, you know, we were like cement that had cured. But I mean, just having the sound guy understand, like when I do the third roll of the ball to my head to hit, jokes got blown, everything got blown, and yeah, when it started carrying a little thing, the whole game changed. So. Yeah, so I mean, I love your advice of where people can do it, play on, play off, and even just bringing an audience volunteer up. Great places. And just that simple free little app you built is amazing. And then your audio ape, of course, we'll talk to that, and you can be totally hands off, do it yourself or from, 500 feet away, which is, the real gem of that thing. So, hey, so let me ask you this thing in closing. This is something I've been having fun just hearing people talk about is what's one prop or attitude or attribute that you'd never want to walk on stage without?
Likeability. If an audience likes you, they'll watch you knit a sweater on stage.
Man,
I think that's key. Second would probably be command, but likability is number one. If they like you, they'll be along with you for anything.
All right, and then the cliff notes for likability. Anything to?
How to get there? Oh boy, it's tough, man. I guess it's a feeling of like, I think I get there because I really do feel like these people are giving me, let's say I'm doing the Disney Theater, it's 1,400 people there, each of them are giving me an hour of their life. Then we get another seating. So that's like 3,000 hours of quality time, like vacation time with their family. Like how, those are what, 2 weeks a year that they get or whatever. If you can't really care for that and really give everything you have and just be so thankful and humble that these people are giving you that gift and it's your responsibility to take them somewhere, you're gonna have a problem. But if you really do want to be there and you're there for them and you just want to make sure they have a good time and you're in that mindset, and the act is on autopilot anyway, so you're not sweating that, then you'll come across as likable because you're there for them.
Dude, that comes from the inside. That's good stuff. I love it. Love it. That's fantastic. Hey, thank you so much. So that's Charles Peacock. Thanks 1,000 times talking about audio for the show of Show Business series. Really appreciate it, man. Great stuff. All right.
Take care, friend.
Let me cue this out. Hold on a second. Bye, everybody.